and welcome to the Grace Hour this beautiful Wednesday here in Baltimore. The sun's shining. It feels like spring again, and I hope it's here to stay. We just encourage everyone listening today, please, right off the bat, please feel free to give us a call. We want your involvement in the program today. And you can call us toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-800-338-7060. You can also call us in Baltimore or outside the United States at 410-483-3700. And besides Facebook and YouTube, we are also on Apple and Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeart, and Pandora. So many, many ways of connecting with us today. And we have a special guest speaker this morning who is a native of Baltimore, Maryland, as a matter of fact. And he is an amazing servant. Pastor Rinaldo Brown, he's going to share with us today on the subject of diligence.
Great. It's great to be here. I'm very, very excited about, before I get into the thought, about just the reality that we're on a lot of different platforms now. I mean, podcast is how many people listen to radio, listen to television, so this is a great opportunity to catch us all over the place. So you have more opportunities to pick us up if you're not listening to us live, and if you are listening to us live, you can hear us anywhere. It's great. This week we're looking at principles in the book of Proverbs, which is a phenomenal wisdom book. It's one of those kind of books that's organized in such a way that it could be your monthly devotional. Basically, there's 31 chapters. It's 31 days, usually in most months. So you could read a chapter a day of Proverbs, and it would transform your daily living. There's a lot of practical wisdom in Proverbs. And today we're going to look at one of those thoughts. I'm going to read a few of the verses in Proverbs that address that thought, and then we'll get into it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24 says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says, He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 13, verse 4, "The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27, "He that diligently seeketh good finds favor." And then this last one I'll look to, and this is more popular in Proverbs among the people that read Proverbs. Proverbs 4, verse 13, "Keep hold of instruction, don't let her go, for she is your life." Diligence. It's one of those words in Christianity that we don't really ascribe so much in our practical Christianity. In fact, when you think about diligence, you often think about the words investigation. Like you hear a lot of times, "I got a car, I did my due diligence," to do the checking, to do the background, to check diligently about this or look diligently into that. So it's often a word of investigation for us in a practical sense. And practically it means this, it means a careful, persistent, determined activity, not necessarily an investigation, but a determined activity in pursuit of a defined purpose. So it's a careful, persistent, determined activity in the pursuit of a defined purpose. And when you read all these proverbs, and there's roughly almost a dozen proverbs that deal with diligence, in every case when you read it, it speaks about a pursuit. It speaks about activity in a pursuit with a purpose. And it speaks about persistently, carefully, practically, determinedly, but continually pursuing that. In a practical sense, we use diligence every day. But then in a biblical sense, it kind of elevates. And we like to let the Bible define words for us. We don't want to have the world tell us what words mean. We want God to give us his mind about it. Biblically, it speaks of, particularly in this portion of scripture, it speaks about a prisoner being guarded and confined. The root verb for this particular word speaks about to exercise great care over, to be guarded over, above all guarding, or above all else, or more than anything else. So it's this guarding of something. It's this confining of something, but it's the great care involved in it, this pursuit to be diligent. And it's interesting about how many things in our life we are diligent about. And again, we apply oftentimes in our Christianity this definition of diligence as something that I'm going to investigate. And in God's mind, diligence is so much wider. It means so much more. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 gives a great explanation, really, in a very few words. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, there are three, the triad of commands there. They're not recommendations. They're very, very strong. God's like, Paul's saying through God, well, God is saying through Paul, this is important. It says, we are not to be lagging behind in diligence, but fervent in the spirit and serving the Lord. Three things there. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in the spirit and serving the Lord. Now, Paul in Romans 12 is giving this background towards godly living, sacrificial living. He starts giving all these different options of how we live our life as Christians. And he kind of does this on the heels of Romans chapter 11. Romans 12, Romans 13, Romans 14, Romans 15, Romans 16. He's talking about godly counsel for a spiritual life. But here in chapter 12, he begins this thought and he says in verse 11, particularly the A part, not to lag behind in diligence. Now, when he says, thinking backwards, when he says serving the Lord, that speaks about the work of God. It speaks about the work of God. And it speaks about the power in the work of God. And then he speaks about, the purpose of the work of God, which is serving the Lord. But then he speaks about being fervent in spirit, and that speaks about the power in the work of God. But then he gets into not lagging behind in diligence. Now, if you've got a King James Bible, the word diligence is not there. It's going to say not slothful in business, which can throw us off a little bit. Because when I hear business, I'm thinking about, okay, that makes sense. I should, as a Christian, I should work harder at my job. And in many cases, in the Christian Judea work ethic, we used to be known as hard workers. 100 years ago, 70 years ago, when you hired a Christian, you knew you were getting a good worker who was going to work 40 hours, who was going to put the hours in. He won't be late. He'll be on time. He'll do a good. By saying that you were a Christian on your job application, more often than not, it got you hired because I could trust this guy. The Judeo-Christian work ethic was huge. So when you read something like that in the King James and says, okay, don't be slothful at work or in business, that makes sense. Do good work. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the word business there is an interesting word. It's not a word for like work. It's actually a different word. It's the word for we get our English word speed. So it gives the context of haste or earnestness or diligence. And that's why we come with the word diligence. Diligence speaks more about not being slothful than business. God's not asking you in Romans 12:11 to be a good businessman, though you should be, an honorable. He's speaking here about being diligent in it. It's kind of like on my job in Colossians 3:17 and in Colossians 3:23 and also 22, I should do a good job. I should work hard. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about that. But then also in 1 Corinthians 15:58, in the work of the Lord, I should also have a measure of diligence here. So God is talking about this diligence, this pursuit. What did we say earlier? This determined activity of pursuit for a defined purpose. So here he's talking about in the work of God. In my walk with God. And we can be diligent with so many things. We'll talk about this tomorrow in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, purity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 10 and 11, in repentance, we can be diligent in that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, especially verse 1, we can be diligent toward the pursuit of unity. 2 Timothy 2:15 paints this picture of diligence in studying the word of God. We can be diligent. But here's the key. Paul's emphasis is not so much in being diligent in everything. Okay. But he's talking about putting effort into diligence, putting effort into diligence, not just trying to be diligent in everything, but putting effort in the principle of diligence. And I want to also say this. Diligence is not legalism. Many times we hear it gets bounced around the ministry. Oh, you're too diligent. Or, well, are you saying I have to work? Or we connect this word diligence and work, and we think legalism. And that's not what Paul is suggesting, and it's not what the Bible is suggesting. I can be very diligent and not legalistic. Christ in Luke chapter 4, he went to the synagogue every Sabbath day, as was his custom. He was diligent in his attendance to the synagogue. That's the word, I can say the word. To the synagogue, he was diligent to that. He wasn't legalistic. Godly habits are not legalistic. I have a diligence about my life. So it's not legalism. Number two, diligence is not faithfulness. Okay? It's not faithfulness. Let me qualify that. Diligence is a quality of faithfulness, but just because I'm diligent doesn't make me faithful. They're not mutually inclusive. As a faithful woman or a faithful man of God, diligence is part of the makeup of the quality of my walk with God. I'm diligent in my faithfulness. But just because I'm diligent may not make me faithful. I might be a hard worker on my job and have no relationship with God whatsoever. So don't think that diligence and faithfulness are the same thing. They're not. Diligence is more of a personal work. Faithfulness is more of a, it's more of a relational word. Faithfulness is a relational word. Diligence is more of a personal word. So combined together in Christianity, I make a personal decision to be diligent in my relationship of faith with Jesus Christ. So that's how the two fit together. But I want to say this about diligence, because now we're asking the question, okay, Pastor Ronaldo, how do I apply diligence in my walk with God? And I would answer that with one word. All the verses I read in the beginning, this word is being supposed but not said, and that's the word discipline. Spiritual discipline breeds spiritual diligence in my life. And the verse that comes to mind is one of my favorites, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, that I would exercise myself rather unto godliness. That is an exercise of spiritual discipline. He says in 1 Timothy 4, 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, but rather exercise thyself unto godliness. And that word there for exercise, the way that it's said that I am making a decision. I am consistently making a decision to think a certain way, to live a certain way, to walk a certain way, to believe a certain way. And I'm consistently doing that, and I'm pursuing that with a definite purpose. And what is that purpose? But to walk with God. What is that purpose? But to know God. So diligence in my walk with God has profitability for me, not just in time, but in eternity. And many of the verses that I read earlier in Proverbs, and there's about 12 of them, many of them speak on a horizontal level, that if I'm diligent on my job, that I can become profitable. If I'm diligent in my business, then in Proverbs 22:29, I'll stand before mean men. If I'm diligent, there's a prosperity for me. But this is not just spiritual prosperity. I mean, physical prosperity. This is also spiritual prosperity. And a good verse for that is 3 John verse 2. I would that your soul would prosper as your life prospers. There's a combination, or that you would prosper as your soul prospers, rather, is what it says. So there's a balance in my prosperity. There's a balance in my prosperity that they're interrelated. So this discipline towards godliness would produce diligence in my walk of faith. So as we think about this thought today in the book of Proverbs, this is a beautiful book that teaches practical lessons how you can live and walk with God and find quality in your walk with God, to have aspects of your walk with God. Your walk with God becomes to have variety into it. And one of the varieties of it is that there's a diligence about it. I can be diligent in my study of the Bible. I can be diligent in my relationship with God. I can be diligent in evangelism. I can be diligent in my prayer life. It's a discipline. It's a spiritual discipline. I can be diligent in fasting. There's a diligence there. I don't have to be careless. I don't have to be sloppy. But in 1 Corinthians 14:40, there can be order in my walk with God. God not only orders my steps in Psalm 37:23, but I can also have order in my life with God in 1 Corinthians 14:40. So hopefully that encourages you and helps you today as we think about diligence. I know it's that one of those words you pull out in everyday conversation, but it's a word that we live. We live diligence. We don't just talk about it. We live it. So it's one of those things that's an aspect of our life with God as we're growing with God. And I'll say again, we exercise ourselves. We exercise ourselves towards godliness through diligence. Amen and amen.
Amen. Wow. That's a lot to chew on, Pastor Ronaldo. Woo. You said a mouthful. Boy, we can just go so many different ways in this. It's really amazing. How about this? It's almost an old-fashioned word.
Yeah. You kind of feel like you're in the 19th century when you hear someone using diligence, except what's interesting is that in our modern vernacular, except when you're talking about, say, a business deal, it's like a business word. It's an education word. It has certain areas of life where the word diligence fits, and you actually feel more intelligent when you use it. Like, I did my due diligence. That's why I got that car for $1,000 cheaper than I was supposed to. Or I did my due diligence. This is what those people believe, or that kind of thing. It's like this researcher. And to be honest with you, the internet has breeded a bunch of diligence. Oh, that's true. Look that up on the internet. And diligence. Did you mean? And then all of a sudden it's diligence. But it's wider than that. Mm. That's why I need God's mind to really define my vocabulary. When a believer uses diligence, he may use it for that, but it's also speaking about my particular walk with God and the consistency of it and the desire of it, the pursuit of it. Like, okay, I'm going to today I want to grow in my diligence this week, this month, this year. I want to be more diligent in my study of being in the Word of God, in my prayer life. We're doing these things, but we're not giving it that big D word. But really, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. And how about this? Like, what's my motive for being diligent? Most, you said business, right?
Yeah.
So the motive for the unsaved in many points is self-seeking.
Yeah.
It's a self-seeking motive. I'm going to be diligent. How about a guy pursuing a girl? I'm going to be diligent pursuing this relationship, but it's for self-satisfaction. It's for self-gratification. So what's the motive behind the diligence? That's interesting, too.
That goes back to that word on purpose. I have a diligent pursuit, and I'm determined for what is the purpose. And a lot of times when we pull from the Bible this word diligence, we do it on a horizontal level, right? It's for like physical prosperity, prosperity in time, personal prosperity, versus spiritual prosperity. That's what's really implied in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. That's what's implied in Proverbs 11, verse 27. That's what's implied really in Proverbs 14, 23, Proverbs 4, verse 13, Proverbs 18, verse 17. There's an implication there more than just having more bread in my kitchen, having more money in my account. Those are low goals for the believer, because you can have those things and be far from God.
Yeah.
It's like the man who says in Luke 14, he got rich. He says, Luke 12, I've got rich. I'm going to put my barns up. I'm going to tear down my barns and build more. I was diligent to build up my wealth, and I'm going to be diligent to build bigger barns. And God says, you fool, I've acquired your soul tonight, because you were diligent about the natural things, but you were not diligent about me. And then Jesus says in the parable, a man's life is more than what he possesses. Mm-hmm. See, I got to be careful that my diligence isn't for just possessions, but my diligence should be based upon the one that I possess. Like Paul said in Philippians 3, I have not apprehended what's apprehended me. So he's got this, you hear this, he says, and then he says in verse 10, that I may know him. Mm-hmm. That's actually a diligence verse, that I may know him. I'm going to, after 18 years as a Christian, I've been walking with God for 18 years, and I am still diligent to know him. I'm trying to apprehend what's apprehended me. And what's interesting in that whole portion of scripture, is all the things that Paul was diligent about for most of Philippians chapter 3 he describes. He says, all those, I was diligent about the wrong stuff. I got it wrong. I was running so far and I got it wrong.
Yep.
And then God, and then in Acts chapter 9, God stepped in his life, knocked him off his horse, reevaluated his diligence, that you've been diligent pursuing all these things, but you've been diligent about the wrong things. And then Paul, life gets turned around, and then he turns the world upside down after that. It's amazing how far you can go when you're diligent about the wrong things.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Think about the Pharisees. Think about, like yeah. you said, Paul. Their diligence was to be seen of men.
Right.
You know, again, Jesus talked about what's your motive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My diligence in keeping the law, the hand wash and the ceremony, they were so diligent outwardly, but it was to receive outward praise from men. I mean, how can you get it so wrong? People get it so wrong, you know?
Well, I think when you live by sight and the things that you're diligent about are not wrong. A lot of things you're diligent about are not wrong. It might not be wrong to be diligent about those things, but it might be the wrong order, priority. The one thing that divine perspective gives me is divine priority. It puts things in order. There might be something, it's amazing, some things in your life that you were so diligent about, and then you got saved, and now you're not so diligent about them. Like you might have been diligent about doing certain things on certain days, but now all of a sudden your life is turned upside down. So like I'm diligent about going to church, but maybe before I got saved, that would never be there. There's an entire change. And diligence is one of those things that I can do it in the energy of the flesh, even a good thing like the Pharisees. I can try to do the good thing in the energy of the flesh, but how do I know I'm doing it in the energy of the flesh? I have the purpose is wrong. And I like that Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it talks about, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord, right? There is my purpose. I'm going to be fervent in the Spirit. There's my power right there. Because then that allows me to serve the Lord. And then I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to be not slothful and being diligent, which means there's going to be a measure of mindset. And that's another word for diligence. I'm going to be diligent about the things I have a mindset for. That's a great little test to give yourself. Write down on a piece of paper in your life, whatever they may be, the top 20 things you want, because that's what you're going to be diligent about. You're not going to be diligent about something you could care less about, but the top 20 things you want, you'll be surprised what's in that top 20. Shocking. And then, because that's where your energy, that's where your thought life, that's where your finances, that's where your time is. Even your relationships are shaped by the things in life that you want.
Well, where your treasure is.
Matthew 6, there's where your heart be also. Yep.
There it is.
Sometimes you look in your spiritual mirror and you start asking yourself, well, here's a great relational question. I have these types of people in my life. Why? You could say, well, you know, God put them in my life. Yeah, you could say that, but you could also say, the devil put those people in my life too. You don't have great discernment on who is and who isn't, who came and where they came from. You may not know that. But ask yourself this question. These folks that are in my life, they are shaping what I'm diligent towards.
Mm.
And that's Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that seeks to be wise puts himself with wise men, but a companion of fools is soon destroyed. My relationships shape what I'm diligent about.
Yeah.
Shocking, actually. Let me ask you this question, Pastor. When you think about diligence and you think about your walk with God, what's the first word that comes to your mind?
Motive. You know, I thought of most people think that life is made up of events.
Mm.
Think about the diligence that goes in to the next event, the next thing I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, really, what is our life made up of? It's made up of thoughts.
Yeah.
Our life is, how many of us as believers are diligent right here in our thought life, because that's what we do. When we're not even active, we're still thinking.
Stay right there with that. There's a word that's being used now. It's kind of created called metacognitive or metacognition. And it means simply this, to think about what you're thinking about.
Mm.
Now, the Christian in the spirit, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, we are metacognitive. We think about what we think about. And when I'm diligent, the measure in which I think about what I think about will determine the area in which I'm diligent, where I'm diligent. But you're right. You know, going back to motive, getting in the beginning of diligence, it's how I think, right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's how I think. My thinking drives my diligence. So if I can be disciplined in my thinking, spiritually, metacognitive, if I can be disciplined in my thinking, and that's pretty much one third of the New Testament. If I'm diligent, if I'm disciplined in my thinking, you'll be shocked at how diligent you can be in your walk with God.
Mm.
Like, what did Jesus say in Luke chapter 2, verse 49 and 50? He said to his parents, I must be about my Father's business. That was his thinking, and that's what guided his diligent actions. Or like he said, I must needs go to Samaria. His life was organized structurally by timing. He knew when he was supposed to go to Jerusalem. He knew when he wasn't supposed to go. What did he say in John 6:7? It's not my time yet. He understood timing based upon having the right mind. He knew when he was supposed to go. He knew when he could withdraw himself. But it all began, like you said, you hit it on the head, my thinking. By faith, I'm spiritually metacognitive, because by faith, the Spirit guides me in my thinking, right? What does it say? Casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, I have to, in my thinking, being metacognitive, okay, in my thinking, or talked about where it says capturing every thought. It talks about, and our thinking is Philippians 2:5, let this mind be being responsible for my thoughts.
Mm.
That's one thing the law didn't do. In Matthew 9, it's like when Christ says, why think ye evil in your hearts? That the disciples were like, the Pharisees, how do you know what we're thinking? Because the law never taught the Jew to be responsible for his thoughts. It taught him to be responsible for his actions, because he was held accountable for his actions, not for his thoughts. So they had a diligence about their actions, and that's where legalism came from. When you have a diligence about your actions without considering the thoughts behind it, you can be number one, you can run the wrong way. Number two, you can have the wrong motive. And number three, you don't have to be connected to God. If I live my life according to godly actions without godly thoughts, I don't have to be Christian. I can be moral. You hear guys bandy about the name of God and different things. Oh, yeah, well, you know, God did it for me. And they're measuring that based upon their actions. I was soul winning in Richmond, Virginia, about a month and a half ago. And we were using a hotel there to have a meeting. And I was talking to the front desk lady. She was just talking about her life at a college in Richmond. I think it was VCU. And she was saying, I'm an artist. And then I didn't suggest it to her. We were just talking. And she just said to me, she said, I'm going to pray about it. I want to think with God about it. And I was so blessed that I didn't put God in the conversation, but she put God in the conversation. And then I said to her, I'm not sure what you're going to do, but I like the way you're thinking about it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I like the way you're thinking about it. You're going to go to God and think with God about it. And then the end result is God. But she had such peace. I mean, she'd been going to school for 6 years. She had all these different samples of drawing. She was excited about that. But she's like, well, I'm just going to talk to, I'm not going to talk to people. I'm not going to get caught up in counseling. I'm just going to walk with, I'm going to talk to God. And I loved it. And then I prayed with her for about 15 minutes about it. But I loved the fact that her thinking, she had a diligence about her education. There was a diligence about her career. There was a diligence about her future. There's a lot of money spent at VCU for college. But in spite of all of these things, she was diligent about what was behind it. When you got into, Pastor, the motive behind it, Pastor, was the right thinking, the right mind, the mind.
Wow. It's like, think about this. Mary and Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Mary and Martha. Martha was diligent,
mm-hmm.
outwardly serving, going, running around, doing her due diligence to prepare that meal. But what was the result? She was anxious and she was troubled about many things. But here's the hidden life. Mary was disciplined and diligent as a listener, as a hearer. And I was thinking of just listening to you, Pastor Ronaldo. As pastors, many times we're diligent in thinking, what can I say next?
Right.
What can I say next? Instead of how can I really listen to that person?
Mm-hmm.
How can I be diligent to really listen to that person all the way through? And then, God, you give me the next word that you want me to say. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I would say you can get familiar with being diligent if you've been diligent in something for a long time. You can have a Jericho spirit where, okay, I've kind of figured it out. I've been diligent this way. This is how this goes. So I don't have the space for any other growth. Like when you read 2 Peter 3:18, it talks about, but grow. How do I grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? How do I grow? There's a diligence. Learning requires a diligence to it. And I think when you're not listening, you're not learning. And there's a diligence to that. There's a humility in the diligence. I was thinking of the great missionary to India, William Carey. They asked him about what people could say about him, about all the years he put into India, almost a half a century in India. They said, when you talk to William Carey, he just said he always talked about India, India, India. And they asked him what would he say was the reason why he was able to be so diligent in India. And he said to me, if I am known for anything, and I'm paraphrasing here, if I'm known for anything, he said, I can plod. I can just kind of plod along. He said, to this I owe everything. He just says, I'm just diligent. I'm just diligent. It's not a sprint. You know, it's not this race. It looks kind of boring. And that's one of the aspects of diligence, is that it looks boring. When you think of your walk with God, you're thinking about this zeal, this excitement, this tinsel, this frosting, this lightning bolts, red seas, healing, blind men, demon, all this wild excitement stuff, right? So you say, well, how come my walk with God is not so exciting? Am I even walking with God at all? It seems rather vanilla. But part of being fervent, part of being diligent, is that there's a consistency to it that is vanilla. Right.
Yeah.
It's not exciting in the sense that it draws a lot of attention, which is my second word. First word is it looks boring. Second word is it doesn't draw a lot of attention. It takes a long time for someone to recognize your diligence, if at all. You could be diligent about something and no one pays attention. Noah preaches for 120 years to possibly thousands of people for 120 years. And the only folks that responded to his diligence were his family.
Wow.
120 years, he was diligent. And of all the things Noah's known for a boat. He's known for a boat and being diligent to build a boat. But he's not known for preaching for 120 years.
Wow.
Diligence.
So that's interesting. How about this, you're raising children. You're a dad. You've got a teenage daughter. I had two children. I'm raising children, and I'm diligent in their behavior. I'm diligent in trying to instill Christian behavior, but I'm not diligent in terms of just getting to listen to them. And listening to God at the same time, diligent to know the state of, that was the verse I was thinking, be diligent to know the state of thy flocks.
Yes.
Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. In other words, do I know the people that I'm responsible for? Do I know their needs? Am I diligent to know what they really need? Or am I just being diligent to teach them proper Christian behavior?
What's interesting is that with this word diligence, you said it right. It's motive. Like Proverbs 22, teach a child the way that they should go. Or is it the way that I think they should go? And if it's based on what I think they should do, then I'm going to drive the diligence a certain way. And I'm not going to listen. I'm going to talk. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, this is what's got to be. And that's the end. And in some respects, there's a measure of that because they're young and they don't know this information. So there has to be initiation, investment, yeah. instruction. But on the other hand, too, it cannot be I'm so initiating and so instructing that I'm not listening. And then I like what you said about being a man of God, a woman of God, to know the state of the flock. There's a measure of patience with diligence.
Mm.
There's humility. Patience, it's not exciting, it looks a little bit boring, it's rather consistent. But this is what 1 Timothy 4:7 kind of looks like. Exercising myself towards godliness may not be this Hollywood-themed walk with God. It might not be something that ends up on Christian television as some great story. My walk with God might not look like a major Christian movie. It might be something simple. It might be just William Curry for 40 years plus years plotting in India, plotting. It looks like nothing's like David Brainerd's testimony, mm-hmm. right, with the American Indians. There's all those years in the middle of America, with the missionary to American Indians, and his greatest disciple is a drunkard. He dies with less than 5 or 6 people. He writes amazing notes about things that are happening. He's a bit depressed. Things are not working out the way he thought they were. But then after him, that same drunk Indian is used to lead thousands of people to Christ. But
wow.
When you are diligent toward the things of God with the right motive, in the right spirit, the fruit belongs to God.
Yes.
The fruit belongs to
God. Well, that's a story I heard years ago. And you probably heard of it. There was a missionary, I don't know his name, but he was a missionary to Africa for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the process, his wife died, a couple of his children died. Mm-hmm. And after many, many years of serving in Africa, he returned to America. And he was dejected. He was tired.
Yeah.
And he just needed to rest. So he's on the boat and they're going into New York Harbor, and all the bands playing. Well, Teddy Roosevelt, the president, happened to be on the same ship that he was on, and Teddy Roosevelt walks off the ship and everybody's applauding him, and the band's playing and everybody's making a big deal about Teddy Roosevelt, and this poor old pastor just walking down the gangplank. There's nobody there to meet him, nobody there to thank him. And he finds a cheap hotel that night to stay in. And he just says to God, God, you know, I've served you all my life and I've given my life to you. And I come home and this man gets all the applause. He says, I come home and I get nothing. And then God said to him, you're not home yet. You're not home yet.
There's got to be something beyond what I see. If my promotion, if my growth, if my provision is only what I can see, how poor am I? How poor am I? Mm. It's like the Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of a sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. It doesn't say it is fat. It'll be made prosperous. And when I'm diligent toward the things of God, in the short end, I might not get the things that I think I should get. I might not get the acclaim or the applause or the benefits or even the material things that they may not come to me in this life. But in 1 Corinthians 4:18, we look not to things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but we look to things which are unseen, for the things which are unseen, they're eternal.
Wow.
My diligence has a divine viewpoint. It's Colossians 3, 1 through 3. It's a divine viewpoint. I'm not living for here. I told a Jehovah's Witness one time, if this is heaven, I feel cheated. You gotta be, it's a ripoff. Life is a ripoff. If the best I can have is life. This is horrible. If this is the best I can have, you got to be kidding me. If you want my faith, you got to lead me beyond what I can see. Lead me beyond what, if you want me to be diligent, it's got to be eternal. The temporal doesn't work. It's fake. No. It's counterfeit. It doesn't, it's unsatisfying. You got to get me beyond that. And I think that's what Solomon and the writers of Proverbs are getting at. In the diligence that you have in the pursuit of God, and my activity towards the things of God, as I exercise myself in godliness, as I exercise myself towards God, as I get to know God in my walk with God, in the diligence, God rewards it. God says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, I will be faithful to, I will honor those who honor me. I will honor those who honor me. That speaks about diligence, being diligent. And if you, this is an interesting little animal, ants, insect. Ants are mentioned most likely, I think it's number 2 or number 3 in the book of Proverbs more than any other animal, ants. And one thing you can say about ants is their diligence. Sometimes I would go over to ants and knock over their hill. They don't fight me. They go back to building the hill. Mm-hmm. I'm literally not a priority. What's a priority is what they're diligent to. I'm the enemy. I walk over to their anthill. I kick it over, destroy everything that they've done, no matter how long it took them to go. They're immediately to the task. They don't fight me. They don't investigate who knocked down. If it was human beings, it'd be a committee. There'd be a Senate hearing to find out who knocked down the hill. They all go immediately back to building the anthill because that's the priority. Because that's the motive is there. Our life is connected to the thing we're diligent to. And that's a good thought. My life is married to the things that I'm committed to, that I'm diligent towards.
That's amazing. Just makes me think of just a quick story at the end here. Back in when the Russians, the Soviet Union took over Poland, they just cleared out everything. They built these huge high-rise tenements in this big square, and there was this big empty space in the square, and the Christians asked them, they said, can we build a church here? Can we please build a church there? And at first, the communists said, yeah, sure, you can. And then they changed their mind and said, no, we're not going to let you. So the people got together, and they built a cross, just one cross, a big cross, and they planted it in the center of the square. The next day, the communists came and they knocked it down. The next morning, the communists came back and the cross was up. Knocked it down again. They put it back up. Knocked it down. They put it back up. Knocked it down. They put it back up. And the whole idea is the ants, they weren't about fighting their enemies. They were about worshiping Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Diligence. Lessons from Proverbs, great book, 31 chapters. I remember in Bible school going through that for 2 or 3 years in a row, every month, a chapter every day, a chapter every day. And you run through the whole book in literally a month, a little bit over a month in some short months, and just keep going through it. There's so much in there.
Mm.
It's a book about living a good life, living a bad life, good man, good friend, bad friend. There's this dichotomy throughout the book. But in this particular topic today, diligence.
Amazing.
In the Word of God, diligence.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep. He that has a merry heart has a continual feast, regardless of circumstances.
Yes.
He that has a merry heart has a continual feast, regardless of circumstances. That's a diligent mind.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yep. And that's where it begins, right? As you said earlier, how I think is the thing that I'll be diligent to. And I can also, why am I diligent to it? I'll find my motive also in my thinking. It all starts there.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's, what does it produce? Contentment, happiness, satisfaction. It's the exercise unto godliness.
There it is.
Right?
Yes.
God-likeness. I just become more like God. That's all. That's all that diligence does. It just makes me more like God.
Yes. Closer to the thing you're pursuing.
Mm, beautiful. Well, I think this just about wraps up the program today. I don't know about anybody else, but I had a great time.
Great time.
That was a lot of fun. And
Amen.
Just What a mine of wealth. What a rich gold mine this book is. So until tomorrow, God bless you. Have a great rest of the day.